1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Amen. We conclude our reading there with verse 18 and trust that the Lord today will come in an unusual way and bless His Word to all of us for our good even this very morning. We are taking today three verses as our text for meditation, verses 4, 5, and 6. I'm going to read them just a little bit closer to the Greek in the translation. It's not a bad translation here. You'll notice one word is not the same. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The same Greek word is used in each verse, translated in two of them, diversities. That is a word that seems very important to many people in our time regarding politics, diversity. But nevertheless, the Lord uses this word three times over regarding the blessings of the Spirit, verses 4, 5, and 6. The Lord has brought us to a tremendous section of divine revelation. These three chapters that we have begun, chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, all concern the blessing, the use, and even the misuse of spiritual gifts. This is a most important study. It is vital and absolutely essential for all of us today. We need it as much now as it was needed in that time in Corinth. We had an electrician here on Thursday and Friday, and he was a very nice man and a very godly man, a professing Christian man. And we had a wonderful time talking about the things of the Lord. I took nearly a whole day off from work on Thursday and spent the time with him, a good bit of the time helping him. And this man is a minister. And he's a minister in a denomination of charismatics that deny the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And we had a good time talking until we hit that bump in the road. And we did hit a bump in the road, and it was amazing how we hit it. But the Lord starts off, I'm going to mention a little more about that, but the Lord starts chapter 12 as a remedy for ignorance. There was much ignorance regarding spiritual gifts in the church at Corinth, though they assumed that they possessed a full knowledge of the matter. The Lord had to remind them that they had recently been delivered from pagan Gentile idolatry. Therefore, their knowledge of spiritual gifts was not yet exhaustive. You know, nothing more effectively removes pride from our eyes than a frequent look into the hole of the pit from whence we were digged. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. We look back and see where we were, where the Lord has taken us from. By this, the Holy Spirit causes us to see the awful state of blindness and ignorance and corruption that was ours in our unregenerate condition. And what a deflation this does to arrogance and to pride. Well, ignorance regarding spiritual gifts, even though the Corinthians supposed they had quite a bit of knowledge on the matter, that ignorance is widespread in the professing Church of Jesus Christ in our own time. What is it that manifests this ignorance in our time? There are two extremes in the church. Two extremes in the church. And I say in the church because I believe that there are people who are actually born again believers who were caught up in the confusion. The extremes are two: formalism and fanaticism. What is formalism? Formalism is cold, dead, unfeeling orthodoxy and even unbelief. It is the tendency to remove the supernatural from our experience and the tendency to think that the miraculous was good in Bible times, but it's not good for our time. Now, the other extreme is fanaticism. And this is an overemphasis on the Holy Spirit that ignores the Bible's emphasis on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Himself has been given preeminence by the Father, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And when that preeminence is given instead to the Holy Spirit, it is fanaticism. Fanaticism is the willingness to sacrifice biblical doctrine on the altar of feeling. Many fanatics in our day have turned from the orthodox doctrine of Christ and have put the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon the throne of preeminence above Christ. That's a danger. But I believe the greatest danger that faces us in this congregation in regard to the Holy Spirit is on the other side, and that of formalism. Thank God we are in a denomination that absolutely demands adherence to the orthodox teaching of the historic Reformed faith. But even in the midst of good doctrine, our hearts can easily grow cold. We can become self-sufficient and assume that all is well. But how do we know all is not well? All is not well if our hearts are not on fire with love for Christ and love for immortal souls all around us. If we are not seeking earnestly to obey God in the matters of Ephesians 5:18, Luke 11:13, and other similar passages of Scripture, all is not well. What do these passages say? Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." The command has the force, "But be being filled with the Spirit." Now, how are we to go about being filled with the Spirit? Luke 11:13 gives us the answer. Jesus said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" If we are not seeking earnestly and actively desiring for the Holy Spirit's power and fullness, if we are not continually, honestly and zealously pursuing this overwhelming, reviving presence and power of the Holy Ghost, we are indeed guilty of a great sin of omission. Now, let me say this. The Lord raised up R.A. Torrey to help D.L. Moody back at the turn of the century, and even before, in the late 19th century and into the early 20th century, in order to set before fundamentalism the absolute necessity of the fullness and power of God the Holy Spirit. And the Lord, in 1951, in a prayer meeting with two Presbyterians, one of them was Ian Paisley, and an Elam Pentecostal minister, the three of them gathered together. And the Lord began pouring out His blessing upon the Free Presbyterians in Northern Ireland in order to remind the Reformed community that it is an absolute necessity, as the old forefathers said in the 19th century, that we must have the fullness of the Holy Spirit if we are to live and work for God in this world. How else can you account for the fact that we are not seeing many souls converted to Christ during a year? Why are the great and mighty promises like Jeremiah 33:3 not being realized often in our experience? What does Jeremiah 33:3 say? "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." All is not well, because do we not find that our experience is often very ordinary? But the Lord said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I believe that we are not earnestly and zealously seeking this fullness as we ought to be doing. So the Lord has brought us to this portion to remind us. We come to our study now of this vital subject of spiritual gifts. Verses 4, 5, and 6. I want you to notice three things. One in each verse. Verse 4, we have the source of the gift. But there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the source the Holy Spirit. Secondly, in verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Here is the sphere of the gifts. Thirdly, in verse 6, the superpower of the gifts. And there are diversities of operations. And you'll see why we are saying superpower, because this Greek word for operations has to do especially with miraculous effects. So let's think first of all in verse 4 of the source of the gifts. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is the bestower of these spiritual gifts. Look down at verse 8 if you would. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And down in verse 11. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as He will. This is the ministry of the Spirit, bestowing these gifts. He is therefore, in that sense, the source of these gifts. This is all according to the promise that God gave to Joel in chapter 2 of Joel's prophecy and verse 28. I'm going to read a few verses there from Joel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 down to the end of the chapter. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Not just upon the Hebrew people. He says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, or delivered, as the word is here. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. This is speaking of the period of Messiah, the great work that Jesus had come to do. Following that work of Messiah, as He promised, a great effusion of the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. And these gifts were given. They were not confined by class, by gender, nor by age. They were given to the rich and the poor, male and female, young and old alike. No matter how diversified, you know our word, diversities appears in each of these verses in the Greek. No matter how diversified, no matter how numerous or extensive, God the Holy Ghost was the giver of all these gifts. Now, what were these gifts? If you look down at verse 8, you'll see what some of these gifts were. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. There are two of the gifts. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. To another, faith. A special faith. Not particularly just saving faith, but a powerful faith so as to move mountains. To another, the gifts of healing. And then, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And now if you drop down to verse 28, you'll see some more. Verse 28, and God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. These gifts are mentioned. These are all given by God the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to point out, back over in Zechariah's prophecy, Zechariah chapter 12, speaking of the time of Messiah. Chapter 12 and verse 10 of Zechariah's prophecy. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That day is coming, literally, for the house of Israel, I believe. When by the ministry of the Spirit, by His outpoured grace, there will be a mourning for Christ. There will be a looking on Him by faith, the one that they pierced. But notice, it is the Spirit's work to cause the people of God to supplicate. The Spirit of grace and supplication poured out. This has an echo in the epistles. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, at the close of the Christian armor, there is the piece so often forgotten that Bunyan called all prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Wow. He is emphasizing that we must be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And this in the Spirit. Doesn't that remind you of what the Apostle John said? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then in the book of Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. That little epistle before Revelation. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. And how are we to be kept in the love of God? We are to be kept in the love of God by building ourselves up on our most holy faith and by praying in the Holy Ghost. And this is one of the reasons the Spirit of God has been given. He is the anointer. He is the one who is poured out upon His people as the Spirit of grace and supplication. He gives us anointing for prayer. He is the one who makes intercession even within the saints, likened to that intercession that Jesus Christ is making on the throne at the right hand of the Father. He is the one praying within us, even with groans which cannot be uttered. And what is this to do to our prayer lives? Even as we pray, we are to ask the Lord for grace and help to pray. And even as we are praying with others, we are to be praying for others, that the Lord would move, that the Lord would cause us to experience liberty and power in prayer, to be brought out of ourselves and into the full blessing of knowing the Spirit's energizing and control and His intercession and groaning during prayer. Now, this is one thing that is a little frightening to some people. But I say this, that we have very clear commands that we are to be building up ourselves on our most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a difference in saying our prayers merely and desiring the influence and power and the infilling of God the Holy Spirit, And I tell you what, the charismatic movement has scared most of God's people so that there is a fear of getting into things extraneous. And we ought to have that fear. But yet we should not give up what God has commanded us just because others have great abuses. We must seek the infilling and the power of God the Holy Spirit. So we've looked at the source of the gifts. Let's notice secondly in verse 5, the sphere of the gifts. Verse 5, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are differences or diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. Once again, the key is given to us. What is being meant here by what the Greek wording is? In verse 5, this word administrations is most interesting. For this word simply means ministries. It is the word that we get our word deacon from. The sphere of the gifts. You notice it says, but the same Lord. Who is this Lord? The Lord is Christ. The gifts are given for the administration of the kingdom of grace on earth. As subjects in this kingdom, we all have gifts and ministries to fulfill. Every one of us. We all have different work to do as members of Christ's mystical body that He speaks of in this chapter. We are all a part of the body. Each part of the body is predestined to a particular function. Each part is legitimate and is empowered by the Lord to work for the good of the whole. One was given the work of a deacon. This is the word that is actually here for administrations, where we get our word deacon. Another, an elder. Another, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. And in the early church, there were apostles and prophets. Some had the gift of helps. Well, you know, it would have been easy to waste a life of ministry just wishing that we could be something else and wanting to have a different ministry than God has given us. If I had the gift of helps, but I didn't want that gift, I might want to be something else. Well, that's not right. This is sin. To desire to be in a place other than where the Lord has put us and doing that other than which the Lord has gifted and graced us to do. Let us find the sphere to which we belong. Let us use and exercise our gift. Present it to God as a sweet savor through Christ and be what He has designed and destined us to be. Be yourself. Be your best for Christ. And He will use you in a wonderful way. Don't go moping through life wishing you were something else or someone else. Christ has anointed us with His Holy Spirit to work as part of His body. Every one of us have a function. Christ was anointed by the same Holy Ghost to a ministry on earth. And His ministry was not a glamorous ministry. Do you remember what the Lord was called to? He was called to a lowly, humble life on earth. He was called to washing feet, to feeding the multitudes, to healing the leprous, to even being around sinners. He fed the multitudes. He came to minister, to be a servant. Not to be ministered to, but to give His life a ransom for many. He was poor and homeless. He was rejected of men, and yet Lord of all. We are anointed by the same Spirit that anointed Christ. Christ is the fountain, and we are His vessels. To every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Ephesians 4:7. Let us therefore be happy, be joyful and content with the place, with the ministry, and in the sphere where divine wisdom has placed us to shine for Jesus and to glorify Him there. Now in verse 6, we come to the superpower of the gifts. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The word operations, again, signifies miraculous effects. In the early planning of the Christian church, God empowered certain men, like Paul and Peter, to heal the sick and even to raise the dead. But it was not Peter, nor was it Paul, but it was God who worketh all in all. As verse 6 says, not every member of Christ's church exercised miraculous powers. And yet it is every child of God's privilege to know the mighty, miraculous power of God in our own hearts. It is the miraculous power of God that first raised us from the dead spiritually, because we were dead in sin. And it was His power that raised us from our tombs to life in Christ. It is God's purpose for you and me that we be filled with joy, even if we're going through painful circumstances. It is only His miraculous power working in us that can make us joyful and triumphant, even in suffering. And even having to suffer circumstances that we do not look on as good circumstances or ideal in any way. James chapter 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. And again, Peter speaks of trials in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. He goes on in verse 8 to say, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is the will of God for us, to be filled even with this supernatural power when we're suffering, when we're going through things that are hard. Do you know what it is to rejoice with so much joy that you couldn't put it into words? Have you ever had that much joy that you could not, absolutely could not put it into words? Have you ever had that much joy just in God Himself, even without circumstances, taking a turn for the better? That is what He's talking about. Even in the midst of the hardest trials, Peter's speaking about the trying of your faith. But even in that, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, isn't it the case with most all of us? When we come into trials, at least we get quiet. And we don't say a lot. And we just kind of drag ourselves around. And generally, that's the way our human nature responds to it. But the Lord says that there's more. There's much more for us. That even in the hardest difficulties that we have to face in life, it is His will and He has power to give us. So that in those kind of circumstances, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable. That we can even count it all joy. 1 John chapter 1 verse 4 makes it clear that it's God's design for us that our joy be full. That our joy be full. That's the will of God for us. For us to have full joy. Not a partial joy. Now how can we live this way? Only by the power of the Holy Ghost. So let us seek Him every day, that we may be Spirit-filled, joyful believers. How much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Are you asking? When is the last time? How recent has it been that you asked God, the Holy Spirit, to fill your life to overflowing? That's something that we need to be doing regularly according to the Word of Jesus. And the Spirit has clearly given us this revelation in His Word. Well, let me ask you, Are you even indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Do you really know His witness within? Do you know that one who by nature was outside of you has come into you and filled your life with His presence and blessing? That is the case of truly born-again believers. We have the witness within. And we know that the Spirit of God indwells us. It's not some hope so or supposition, but it is a clear understanding. Believer, there is a very clear word here for all of us. Don't be afraid of the power and blessing of the Holy Spirit because of the charismatic abuses. Don't be afraid because of that. Rather, seek the genuine and the definite article, the real fullness and power of God the Holy Spirit. And I tell you again, the Lord raised up D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey to make it very clear to the early fundamentalist movement that there was the constant need of the Spirit's power in filling His very fullness. Andrew Murray called it the full blessing of Pentecost. And you know, Brother Andrew Murray was not one to be given to fanaticism. And thank God for raising up this denomination in the middle of the 20th century to reiterate to all those who profess the Reformed faith that without Him, we can do nothing. That we need the mighty infilling and power of God the Holy Spirit. We need it for everyday Christian living. We need it to see God work in the world. And is not the world, and is not the professing church waiting to see Christians like that again, even in our country? Oh God, may the Lord make it so for His own name's sake. I thank God for what He has done in this denomination, in other places. But the Lord is able to do, even in our land, what He has done in other places. Moving in great power and blessing. Let us seek Him now in prayer. O Lord, Thy Word sets before us the standard, and we confess that our lives are oftentimes so far below the standard that we consider our way of living the norm. And God's Word and the experience of believers in other places and other times, and even in our own past century, to be abnormal. But Lord, we confess, even as old Watchman Nee said, it's the normal Christian life. But we are so used to living subnormal that we think normal is abnormal. So Lord, teach us Thy way. Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with all Thy quickening powers. Come shed abroad the Savior's love, and that will kindle ours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.